Faccia Gattinio, Gucci and Theo, the BK, Misha, Brendan, O'Daniel, and Shot Eye Highland Radio. Welcome everyone to the show. Gourmet Agav, Alig, San, and Tahiart, Ahoran. Thanks everyone, Ahoran Shiv. Thanks everyone for the support, ongoing support of the DL debate. Thanks so much. And I want to thank Evan Borden for the Power Hour Plus. Joe Dex here. Joe Wham Bam, thank you, Sham. Joe, one of the best Shams you could meet. Joe, who owns Sham? I know, I would like to know. Sean O'Donnell's coming on. Tuam is called Sham Town. Ballyshannon reckons they have Shams. There's a lot of Shamming going on around the country. That's one for another debate. Myself and Joe will go through that there. Folks, coming up on the show this evening, Sean O'Donnell, as I say, two former greats of Donegal and Galway, Sean O'Donnell and our own John Gilday are going to talk about Galway and Donegal, the draw yesterday in the big game in Division 1. We're then going to talk with Michael McMullen of Gaelic Life. We're going to go through all the weekend's action, including two big victories for Derry and a much needed victory for relegation haunted Tyrone as well. After that, I'll speak with ladies manager Chris Daly. He's given us a few words on their very important win over Mayo at the weekend, putting them in a great position to go up to Division 1 again. So James Daly, sorry, my apologies, James. So we'll hear from James later on in the show. Folks, we obviously on Saturday, I was at Croke Park, addressing Congress, kind of. I was outside anyway, with Gaels Against Genocide, very well run event that we had. We had a protest outside. We had some brilliant people there, you know, Tyrone's Joe McMahon, Eugene McKenna, Peter Canavan, some Down legends like Greg McCartan, Greg Blaney, Ross Carr, Michael Ernie, Colin O'Rourke, Meath, Brian McGilligan, Derry, all All-Ireland winners, me stuck in the middle of them. Even the great David Hickey was there, a great humanitarian. And yeah, just a protest against the ongoing links of the GA to Allianz. Allianz, who have been cited in the UN report as have been a major financial backer to Israel in their ongoing genocide in Gaza and the West Bank. Folks, just to say, coming back into Division 1, we're going to have a wee discussion as well on, I'll just mention the hurling, and yesterday Donegal with a big victory over Louth. Mickey McCann's going to be on the show next week. The Camogie ladies were beat in the second game out, but listen, this new to them, new competition, new team, and it'll take a bit of time for everyone to gel there. But I was saying at the top of the show, I'm joined by two great men, John Gilday and Sean O'Donnell. How are you, lads?
Good, no, thanks very much, Brendan, and yourselves?
Lads, going well, yeah. I can hear him that well there, Joe. Is there a...
Who can't you hear, me or John? Who can't you hear?
Sorry, Sean.
I don't think you can hear you.
I was in the wrong headphones, come on, Joe. I've never seen any of the headphones coming out. Who's running this operation?
You were in the right tooth, left and right this morning, eh?
Here, I never used a left in my life, you know that, Sean.
Well, mine was only for standing down in the same boat.
100%. Hey, you were a man for a big boomer in your day. They were doing a queer two-pointer in your locker.
Jeez, I tell you, that's the point. Jeez, I would have scored about 20 points at this stage. You know what I mean? Like that. Like, they do two-pointers. Only single my time. So, but listen.
And Sean, is that in a game or in your whole career?
It was only in Croke Park.
Oh, yeah. The big stuff. Only when the big stuff mattered.
We're accounted.
we nearly ran under them, remember, in 98. Of course, we lost that Ulster final, and then Galway beat Derry, which I wasn't too sad about, of course, with my Galway connections, lads. That's all the history. It'd be good to get an old reminisce sometime, Sean. But listen, just starting with you, Sean, yesterday's game, Galway under a bit of pressure, you know, wee bit relegation, threatened both teams, probably missing maybe 6-7 of their starters. What did you make of it from the Galway performance? Are you happy with the point in the end?
No, being honest with you, Brennan, I think we left it behind us, being honest with you. Like, when you're playing, we were playing so well, I think we dominated in certain areas. And then, like, when, what I call it, we saw, what I call it, Brendan Cole getting sent off, we thought that stage, surely we could bring it home, and we didn't. So I'm kind of looking back on a bit of the last 2 weeks where Galway, like, against Roscommon, with 40 minutes played, 13 points up, with 44 minutes played, 6 points up. We seem to be losing leads, which is not good. We're a bit of a strange fish at the moment because we're a bit, it reminds me, I think I told you this before yesterday, that we're a bit like the Irish rugby team. We don't know what team we're putting out, and we don't know exactly how we're going to play. So it's the problem I find with Galway. When the chips are down and people aren't giving us a chance, we show up. And then when the games we expect to do better in, especially like Roscommon there 2 weeks ago and Mayo, we didn't perform. So, and like we play up, is it Monaghan, we play next away, where people were saying we should win that handy. I would actually have a question mark on that game. And that's the problem with Galway at the moment. We don't know. You could say we're missing a good few players, three, four max. The ones like we're talking about, you probably got Cormor, Shea Welch. I don't see that. I don't see Comer if he is going to be a late show. Mm. Shane Welch is a loss. McDade's a loss as well. But I worry about this team. We found a
Thompson. Thompson's coming back though, Sean, right?
He's coming back from the States. But you know yourself, you're not going to be right. Yeah. You're like, it's not a scenario where you can. You have 4 weeks like long ago when we were playing. There was a big break. He's going to come back. There's a game every week. He's not going to be championship fit. So I don't expect him to be like fitness ready for championship.
Mm. And John, from our own perspective, that's 14 games unbeaten at Ballyshannon. It was like a battle kind of game. Obviously, our bench looked a lot stronger and needed to be make an impact. As Sean was saying, with Donegal playing the majority of the game with the 14, you know, they really stood to it at times. And Sean mentioned there, you probably see the best of Galway when their back's to the wall. But Donegal was backed into a bit of a corner yesterday. But you've seen the bit of quality come out as well, and some brilliant play. Some lads, I suppose, it's kind of a testament to Jim McGuinness's team. Everybody that's there seems to be playing almost to their best.
Yeah, and I suppose initially I'd have to agree with Sean in the sense that, you know, even though it was a draw game, I would feel that Donegal would walk away from it happier than Galway, because it was really an opportunity when you consider Donegal played 40 minutes with 14 men. And, you know, with 20 minutes to go, Galway were in the driving seat, 6 points up with a man up, and really should have, you know, been home and dry at that stage and figure out a way of shutting it down. On the flip side of that, then, it's a very good sign of a team that ultimately wasn't going that well early on. I thought they started poorly, seemed a bit sluggish. I felt you lose the likes of Rorty and Mogan, that dynamism that's driving forward. We lost that a little bit. And then because of that, we struggled. And then, you know, McHugh and guys like that were easier shut down. I also felt that Galway brought a huge amount of intensity and physicality to the game. Like it was really rugged stuff. And, you know, it was, you know, Donegal at certain times overreacted to that. I know Michael Langle would be disappointed, you know, but I could understand why he did it, because it, you know, it really was a black card foul on the way out. And then obviously Stephen McMenamin I felt he was harshly done in the first yellow card. He was a little bit unlucky. It was just a challenge. Second one, he can have no qualms about. But it's a good sign from a Donegal perspective that when the chips were down, they managed to find a way, they dug it out. The way the modern game is right now, you know, no matter how far ahead you are or how far behind you are, if you have the quality and if you keep your head, there's always the opportunity to kick 2-pointers and drag yourself back into the game. So overall, the Donegal substitutes made a big impact in the game. And we had more quality. I felt we had more quality and depth throughout. And when you're missing those 4 or 5 players that Sean mentioned already, the Comers, the Walshes, the McDades, good to see Paul Conway coming back in again. That's going to be a help for them. And I think the big issue, maybe from a Galway point of view, and maybe Sean would talk about this more than me, is that at a crucial stage during the game, Donegal took over in the middle of the park. Now, I know we're particularly big around that area, but it's something maybe Galway have to look at, in the sense that, you know, Donegal won 70% of their own kickouts in the second half, and they won 50% of the Galway kickout. And in a game that now is determined by kickouts, that's something probably Galway have to look at. And, you know, John Maher did a lot of work in there, but I don't know if he's a natural midfielder. So, you know, having Conway come back is probably going to be helpful. I don't know what his legs are like, because like as all, he's not getting any younger, but it's probably something that was a big determinant as regards how the match went yesterday at a crucial stage.
Yeah, you want to take that up, Sean?
Yeah, really, number one, you're correct 100%. We have a problem with a goalkeeper, simple as that. When you think of what you have with Patton coming back, Conor Gleeson, unfortunately for me, isn't good enough to this level. And I hate putting down any player that's there, because he's a great stop shotter, but his kick out wouldn't be the best. He's come up a few times. He hasn't scored, I think, since that one he got against Mayo 2 years ago. And I know why he's bringing up the field. And you saw that time at the end where there was a just outside the 45, what I think would have put us 3 points up. And he fluffed it. He went short. So I find it from there. I thought Maher, I kind of disagree with you, John, and not in a bad way. I think Maher is outstanding. He's such a player for us, so important. He's a box-to-box player. His engine is unbelievable for a guy that's come back from a serious injury. I agree with you. He didn't have any help in the middle at all. Like, Darcy was brought back there starting full forward, but we knew he wouldn't have been. I thought Matthew Tierney went out of the game totally at the end, where I thought in the first 20 minutes, especially the first half, something that you haven't seen Donegal done, we put you under so much pressure. The amount of turnovers, hand passing, the simple game, which you shouldn't be kind of, you'd be giving out about, they give so many passes back to us through pressure. So it was kind of a way that it's going to be a great test for Jim and the lads, where that's the first time you could say this year that we saw Donegal under pressure, which was a scenario which they haven't been used to, scoring and kind of that. We had our goal chances. We didn't take them. It shows you again, we talk about these young lads coming on, and there was about three or four chances where the more experienced players would have done well. I thought Gavin Mullany was very good in goal. Even then with saying that, we didn't test him. The kicks that were nearly kicked at him, where you expect a good goalkeeper would save anyway. I thought if you think all of our forwards except for Darcy scored, I thought we put you under pressure that way. But I think Galway is kind of a scenario that's strange. It is, for the moment, it's all about staying in Division 1. Paul Conroy, the jury's out on him at the moment. Paul Conroy's only done 2 weeks training.
He looked at you.
You see, even last week coming on, I think PJ's doing a big mistake. There's a lot of questions. Did he want to come back? We saw that against Roscommon. They bring him on, the crowd, the big cheer. No offense to Paul Conroy, because he doesn't need, as I say, he's got nothing or no answer to anybody for what he's done and his service to Galway football. But I think Porrick put him under the bus a bit, scenario that he shouldn't be seen until April. Because he'd only done 2 weeks training. Like, when you see Michael Murphy and the amount of training he's done, I know that Paul Conroy hasn't even done a touch of that much. And you can see the kick at the end was, it was just a kind of a pull kick. So we like saying that, it's good to see him. I only see Paul Conroy last 10 minutes in a championship match, really, because the legs aren't there. When you're 38 years of age, as we know, we've been there, the head is still young, but the body is not caught up with it. And that's, you will get caught out with these new rules and in Croke Park. Mm. And that's my worry for him, that he will get caught out. And he was caught out in the last two games.
Mm. Mm. Do you know what, John, just on that, I mean, that is normal, and I agree with Sean, for really the entire population, but not for one man, Michael Murphy. I mean, one of my friends from Galway said to me, he came on the pitch and he left one of our 26-year-old defenders for dead, pace-wise. I said, he's faster. He's come back. He's like, what are you doing with this man? I said, listen, I was saying to Greg this morning, I think Murphy's the next evolution of human beings. He's not made of the same stuff as the rest of us, John.
Well, listen, it's like everything in life. You need an awful lot of luck as well. And, you know, we all can go, you know, at times we went at that pace and then all of a sudden your hamstring goes and then all of a sudden it's all. There's times to be going that fast in a league game in Ballyshannon. I don't know if Michael needs to hit those top speeds. But, listen, he's been very, you know, moving on to Sean's point about Conway, he's been very well looked after in the sense that he's been given cameo roles at certain stages. His rehab is excellent. His workload is very carefully monitored. There's bigger things ahead for Michael. Obviously, he was earmarked yesterday for a half and he got a half. And the day suited him as well. You know, I know Paul or Sean said that there was a lot of turnovers in the game. The day itself was absolutely horrendous. You didn't even need to make a tackle yesterday to turn over the ball because it was just hard to get it from A to B at certain times. There was so much water around. And I think a big man on a day like that is very, very helpful. And he had a major impact in the game. He kicked a nice score. But again, nobody's going to be getting carried away. I think if we look at last year as a whole, maybe we were over-dependent on Michael. The fact that Michael hasn't played much this year and Donegal has done quite well without him is a positive. I think we need to use him sparingly and bearing in mind that he is the age he is, and no matter how well he's going, we need the rest of the team to stand up and take responsibility, and Michael then can add to that as opposed to being totally dependent on him. But listen, having Michael's back is great from an experience perspective. He obviously can kick his scores, he can win his ball, and he's going to be a huge asset in whatever way Jim decides to use him throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah, yeah, as Paddy Higgerty would say, you bang, the grind went. And that was the end of it, John. That's what you remind me of when you're on with the hammer going there.
Sean, what
about it then? So, and obviously, you both of you are midfielders, slightly on the taller side there, Mr. O'Donnell. You were colossus of a man. But about the kickouts, what's the options then? I mean, we obviously, you can see there with Mulroney, he's got a left or right foot chip into the corner. He's got a short kick, and obviously you've Patton in, probably the best in the business at kicks from all range.
the only option for Galway is to really lump it out the middle, and then, you know, your percentage drops. So, it, you know, as lads were saying there, the modern thing is, you know, what are you going to do with that? Is there other options there in the county?
There isn't. The funny thing about it, probably the best option we have went to Roscommon. He's their goalkeeper, and he went for Bridgets. His brother's on the under-20s team, so that's the problem we have. We have a kind of a bad thing in Galway at the moment. Underage is only about two or three teams, which you have Armagh, Clare, Galway and Corrifane. And majority underage come through from either that club. Clare Galway have seemed to have a conveyor belt of goalkeepers. But we haven't had the caliber really going back for 10 years of what you've seen all around the county, where a lot of these guys are outfield players. And it's showing, you know what I mean? It's to win in All-Ireland, especially at the moment, you need a keeper that can bomb it out 70, 80 yards, but also can ping it only 10 yards right into the hands. And we don't have that. We're Donegal at the moment have two keepers well able for that. So it's a problem Pádraig has, and he's not going to change it. He's going to keep with Conor Gleeson. That's the problem. There seems to be a bit of thing there going on at the moment. I don't know what it is. People say there's a bit of a click going on, but I don't know. It's something that would kind of worry you in the long run, because going back the latter couple of years, we have lost games because of this, and it hasn't been corrected. I saw McGrath came in there in goal. He was someone I thought he'd maybe stick with. He didn't stick with him. He's changed him again. And when you start changing your keeper game after game, number one, they have no confidence. And anybody knows, doesn't make a difference what position you play, but especially goalkeeper, it's built on confidence. And then what you have then is your outfield players, your half-back line, your half-forward line. Every keeper is a different style. So the only style goal we have at the moment, and you said it, bomb it out. And where he's bombing is the same side. So the opposition, you just bunch it. So it's a 50-50 chance. If you don't catch it clean, it's going to be a break. And you don't want that. You want to be able to kind of spread it around, which we're not able. Like, no offense to the kid. You saw us, it's a bad day. You kick a kick out to a guy that's going off the pitch.
Yes.
Like, that's, like, to me, is we joked and laughed about it, but it's not good enough.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he looked at your man. He was coming off, walking. It was McGrath. Yeah. And he starts pointing. Like, it was obvious he was going off the field. And he should have seen it because it was a kick out. So those things worry. It's not a funny thing. It's a very serious mistake to do, like, you know, and it's worrying for Galway at this moment in time.
Yeah. Just on Donegal, at the pace at times they were coming at, their Donegal defence seemed very well set. Every time Galway looked to hit them on the counter, there seemed to be people there. Donegal seemed to be punching, able to get in the holes. And one of them is just unbelievable is Conor O'Donnell. And the goal again, John, I mean, once he got the wrong side of the defence, he's actually pulling away from you. And you can see him arrowing out. He's coming into the old 11 position. He's dropping his shoulders. He's running. He's engaging. He's shaking the whole defence. He has had some form. When you think about it yesterday, obviously the likes of Oisin Gallan not in there. Shane O'Donnell had been probably carried more ball than anybody in the country, I think, previous to this. You know, the likes of Murr and Emmy, the players that were left on the bench. So it was really Conor was the player that was really stepping up, taking it to Galway. And that goal was a top drawer. I mean, Sean just mentioned there Galway coming inside, and I agree with him. There was great goal chances, but none of them were hit by conviction. But boy, did he put that into the onion bag.
Oh, no, absolutely. And to be honest, he probably feels aggrieved. If you look at it from Donegal's perspective, last year in the quarterfinal, semi-final and final, Conor O'Donnell was our best player over three games. Yeah. And many felt that he should have had an All-Star last year, and he's come in with that same vein of form. And people also need to be aware that, you know, the young lad had at least one cruciate ligament injury. So he's only really finding his feet in the last 12 to 24 months. And he's really blossoming right now. And, you know, he's been Donegal's most consistent performer throughout the league. You know, every game he's in the man of the match conversation. And he just continued that on. He has an amazing turn of pace. He is very confident. He's not afraid to take people on. And then he's also two-footed. And ironically enough, he'll probably be a bit disappointed because he left two very simple scores behind him, one on the left and one on the right. So he had an amazing game, scored an unbelievable goal, left everybody behind him. And as you know yourself, on a bad day, to cover that much ground at that pace and keep the ball under control is an achievement itself. And then to solo in on the left and then put it away on the right was amazingly skillful. So he's a big player for Donegal. He was a big player last year. He's been, I suppose, overlooked by a lot of people because, you know, everybody wants to talk about Murphy and Gallan and, you know, Langan and guys like that. But he's definitely going to be a big part of the Donegal jigsaw puzzle this year as we move forward, because he does bring something different in the half-forward line in the sense that he's very direct. Shane O'Donnell is on an awful lot of ball, but isn't really a clinical finisher and tends to cover a lot of ground. Whereas Conor Donnell, when he sees the goals there's and a bit of space at all, he opens up and goes for it. The other big thing this year, it's been a big advantage for us as well, is Big McGee is playing exceptionally well. He's getting his fitness back. He's not carrying any injuries right now, which is a big bonus for Donegal. And he's definitely been a huge plus for us around the middle of the park over the last couple of weeks as well.
I think 2 points in a row was a big part of that comeback, John. Sean, just on McConnor O'Donnell, obviously, you know, you have a man at the other end of the pitch in queer form, self, Oisín O'Donnell. He had a great game. He's a real out-and-out finisher. You know, Tierney, Finity started well, kind of faded a bit in the game, but he was very consistent throughout. And you mentioned Maher. I just love watching Maher. He's in the middle of everything, connecting to play and getting stuck in. He's a player I love to watch. But just a word on that, lad. He got the man of the match, rightfully so. He had a great game and right across the whole match.
Yeah, personally myself, I thought Maher was actually outstanding myself going with that. But going back to Oisín, but just before Oisín, I thought Conor O'Donnell, I thought that goal, if the likes of David Clifford had actually struck that, it'd be all over the papers. I just thought, hey, winning the break, 70 yards out, running his way through, and as you said there, as John said, conditions soft on the foot, and to bury it. He had nothing else on his mind the minute he got that ball to bury it. So absolutely top class. And going again in that, sometimes it's funny, if Murphy was playing from the start and what I call it, you're talking royalty, these guys don't be seen as much. And I just think that's where he's coming into his own. As far as with a full forward line, they didn't score at all, and only himself and Jamie Brennan scored that time. But I just thought he was class, and he's a guy really going forward. Going back to your original question, Oisín Mac-Donnacha, he's a neighbour of mine here from Letzmore, or is there noisy neighbours, as we call them. He's not that young. People think actually he's 26. He's a garden up in Mayo, so he's been on the road for a while, playing absolute great football for his club. Free taker, very committed. And I kind of thought it was a bit cruel on Porrick against Armagh. He kind of threw a bit of blame at him for that chance when he came on as a sub, and he didn't kind of, they're saying he should have popped it over the bar, and he went for the goal to the leg. And it's good to see that he came out, got another chance, and to take his chances. I thought he was outstanding. Again, like Conor, he left one or two nice, easy ones behind him. But I thought, especially in the first half when he was needed, and especially at the buzzer, he took that kind of a game on himself to pop it over the bar. And I just thought he's outstanding. Another guy beside him, another kind of neighbour, Spittle, Liam O'Connell, I thought, is a great footballer too. Bit hampered by injury. Great young lad as well. These guys, he's only about 21, but a great footballer for the future. So if these guys get the game time, which they wouldn't if our stars were still here. So it's kind of a good thing for Galway, I suppose, for the long term, in the long run, that these guys are getting chances, because the Comers, the Walshes, the McDades are injured at this moment in time. But Oisín Mac-Donnacha, class act, really, in all fairness, and really happy for him the way he paid for him, because he got a bit of stick the week before from Armagh, so it's good to see that happening. Finnerty, going back to him, again, probably looking at him at the pitch, the most laziest player to ever put on a pair of boots. You look at him. But the most lethal, lethal. You look at him, you say, this guy's not going to do anything. Next thing, he turns left or right. We all know he's going to do the dummy left, and we still buy it. And he's great that way, and he's still showing up for what he does. So we're lucky enough, he's playing very well at the moment, showing leadership. Disappointed Matthew Tierney, great start, went out of the game at the end. So kind of thought it'd be a bit better than that. But I remember you said there as well, like, you talk about, like, in all fairness, Michael Murphy. He was marking a guy who's probably 23, Keane Hernan at that time. And he absolutely burned him. And I still don't know how he did it. Seriously, if there ever is a body to go to medical science, please, please put it forward, because I love to see what's in that, man. He's unbelievable. Legend.
He is. We're lucky to have him. 184 games to equal Neil McGee's all-time record. So that's another thing he's going to do, John, on top of everything else. Go ahead, John. You going to say something?
No. I wasn't. I was going to say probably an angel dust. God knows what's wrong with this stage.
Angel dust. You know? I showed your age there. Here,
John. There's probably
newer stuff now, Brendan, that you could suggest. But listen, you know the funny thing, and overall, I think Galway are going to come away happy enough with this. They found a couple of players coming back. They want to stay in Division One. They're moving rightly. You know, if you look at Armagh, very much kind of in the same vein, you know, probably should have won a couple of more games, just like Armagh, left a couple behind them. You know, the league is for what it's for. you know, from a Donegal perspective, we still can't figure out if Jim wants to go for the league or not go for the league. So, you know, at least Galway know where they are. They're in the middle of the pack. There's going to be no issues as regards league finals or anything like that. And then it's knuckled down to the championship. And ultimately, we all know that's what it's all about. You know, Porrick is under pressure. Maybe not so much pressure, but people will expect him to deliver. The only thing that matters from a Galway perspective is an All-Ireland title. And the only thing that matters from a Donegal perspective is an All-Ireland title. All the rest of it is just shadow boxing in between.
Yeah, yeah, yes,
correct,
indeed.
John, yeah, correct. Sorry, just going there, you see. This is the problem with Galway at the moment, you see, is Connacht titles are no good to us anymore, you see.
Mm.
That's the problem. Like, they're only for Mayo. It's an All-Ireland title. And we're on the latter part because of we've left two behind us already in the last 4 or 5 years. And that's the problem. Like, Armagh, we go back, and then Kerry. So we're at a stage now where, you mean, you look at our noisy neighbours, Mayo, and all the young lads are coming through. They're forced to be reckoned with what's coming. And we were never so happy to see a young lad, Toby, going after Australia. But it's kind of a scenario that we are at that stage. It's now our bust, like, and which it's kind of worrying too, because we need everybody on board.
Yeah, you do. Lads, brilliant wrap up. I'm just going to give the last word on this game to, of course, the man himself, Patter Mogan, popping up in the pocket, as they call it. You're on about Australia there, so in the pocket for that 2-pointer. Fabulous kick from Mogan to wrap up the game and say keep Donegal's unbeaten run going. Lads, listen, thanks so much for wrapping up, Sean. Always great to chat to you. John, me and you will be chatting further down the track, Sean, and we might see you around the All-Ireland series in a big day at Croke Park.
Lacuna Day. We'll see you, as I say, in the Croke Park Hotel, and we'll have a pint.
Mike,
look after yourself, Sean.
Look after yourself. You too, John. Look after me.
Cheers, Sean. Cheers. Thanks,
Brendan.
Come on, John. Two great lads there, Sean O'Donnell and John Gilday. After the break, I'm going to talk to another top man, Michael McMullen of the Gaelic Life. Yes, welcome back to the DL Debate, folks. We are about to talk to the one and only Michael McMullen. Gary McDade was messaging me. He's under 15s and a half or in a quarter final next week against St. Mark's of Warren Point at St. Eunan's College. My sister also asked me to mention a 96-hour fast for Gaza that's been held by St. Celia's School in Derry. A couple of big GA men involved in that there. If you Google that, 96-hour fast, St. Celia's for Gaza, you can contribute to that. My sister Sharon works in there. Michael McMullen, how are you, sir?
Not too bad, Davey. How's things?
You've got the Derry colours on, boy. I like it. Hey, I shook hands with Brian McGilligan on Saturday, and I tell you what...
Is your hand still shaking?
You could just tell, hey, what a monster of a man. Hey, listen, great fella. Hey, I met him down at Croke Park there. But Derry are going well, Michael. It's certainly great signs of them, and a lot of people teeing us up as the big kind of two. So another awesome scoring shout. You mentioned to me last week about Lachlan Murray back. He certainly contributed. But, you know, all in all, Derry looking like they're coming back to something like themselves.
Breton, an absolutely brilliant performance, as good as performance as I can remember of late. Bearing in mind you're playing against a Cork team who hadn't been beaten, and you're chatting to Sean O'Donnell there, a monster of a man. Cork are littered with them, and I think, Breton, the fact that they did really well at midfield on both sets of kickouts was really pleasing, and something that the management team had obviously poured over a lot of detail and got it right, and it was their platform and a fantastic result for Derry.
Yeah, and you mentioned, Sean was mentioned there just about this key aspect of kickouts. So we were talking as well about the goalkeeping situation there in Derry. So is there a variation there? Because that's what we need now, Mel, isn't it? I mean, you've got to take your opportunities to get the short away when you can. If you can clip one out wide, the wing, and it's only if you're forced you're going to actually thump it out the middle. So it's about having that variation and a lot of movement from your team to try and create that space.
Derry had that a lot at the weekend, Brendan. Now, Paddy McGrogan, he's very much their man who goes for the short. He probably does a wee bit like what Caelan McGonigal does for Donegal, only Derry always seemed to play it to him, whereas McGonigal seems to be nearly like a decoy to pull a wee bit of width. But then they've been hitting Conor Doherty on the wing on a couple of occasions as well. And then I suppose yesterday, because there were so many big men and there was a strong breeze, for about 20 minutes at the start, it was good old-fashioned, put it out, get a couple of hands up and see who wins the break, and have to be fair, for about 30 minutes until Derry pulled away, it was a really, really excellent game of football. And then Derry sort of pulled away, and then it was a non-event then after that.
Yeah, you were saying to me last week, well, just with Derry there, that maybe it wouldn't do another harm of Division 2 because, as you said yourself, Division 1's a bit unforgiving. But maybe what you've seen the last couple of weeks in terms of, would they be ready, would it be better for the Revolution to be back up in one?
I would have always said that Division 1 was the be-all and end-all, and then obviously Armagh and Dublin have won the big one via Division 2, so that's the other side of it. But I often find that Division 2, at the tail end of the season, there's a lot of games that are non-events, really. So there's nearly more of a cut in Division 2 as well, because you have teams scrapping at one end and then others obviously trying to get promoted. But there's obviously, like, I was at the Donegal Armagh game a couple of weeks ago, and it was high quality stuff, you know, like two well conditioned teams. So it's a step up, and it probably does serve a purpose to be up there, but you need the squad to be there. Like, Armagh are fine at the minute, Brenton, where the last couple of games they've only used two subs. Now, I know that's to many people that's not a massive detail, but it just shows you know, that they're lacking a wee bit of depth at the moment. And I think when you go up, you probably need to be like a Kerry or a Donegal, where you've got that depth. But I suppose at the same time, Kieran McGinney's side's creating loads of chances. But you just worry about that depth. And Derry, like, as much as there's been a lot of talent has come through Brenton, there's not a lot of experience outside that 17 or 18 core. But then maybe you'll tell me that Division 1 is a place for, like, it hasn't done Shea Malone or Conor McCall or obviously Finbar Rorty, although he's probably freakish, but maybe Division 1 would be the place. But I would like us to just develop that squad that wee bit more.
Yeah, you mentioned Armagh there. No goals again, Mel. And, you know, there's a big issue with teams here not being able to score goals. Some amount of goal chances being created now in 11v11, but the amount of them is squandered. We were just chatting previously the boys. Galway were inside three or four times, but terrible attempts, you know. And that the game was Armagh's, you know, Achilles heel at the end of that scoring route. I know the game went from, obviously, with the breeze and what have you, but they're under pressure now, Mel.
They are, but the only thing is, Brenton, they are creating. I know that league points, like Geezer will be mad looking for league points now over the next. Well, he simply needs them, but they're creating those chances. They're getting into all the right places, like against, you know, like Mulroney was excellent against them. Now against, I saw a wee bit of the Mayo game. There was one where Ross McCullen took a point later on, which I found was strange because the goal was on. But they are getting through the middle. They are getting in there. They are creating those chances. So, you know, a former forward yourself, Brenton, is it a case of you just have to work on that magic composure word at training and maybe they're doing that anyway, but just dedicate, you know, I don't know, 20 minutes, half an hour every night just to constant, you know, finishing for goals 1v1, you know, or whatever it is, because they are creating them.
See, you know, I think it can be hard, Mel, to recreate the goal-scoring opportunities. Like, points are so much different. Like, when you look where you're coming in with an angle, what's happening, because there's a real tension when you get in around the house like that. It's a very different, I suppose, part of the game to finish a goal, because quite often people hammer the ball. You know, there's no wild skill in that. Some people place it. Some people have a fair idea where it's going. So it just depends on the player, where it is, what it's happening. And I suppose it can be hard to put that type of pressure on you on in training, you know. But certainly it's changing games so dramatically. I mean, Armagh, the amount of goal opportunities they've missed. I mean, from a point of view, remember Parkinson was on about the seven fisted points over the bar. Then they've been going for loads of goals and missing them. If they had taken them, chances would have been different. Well, just a word in Tyrone, you know. Talchon Cup threatened there at one stage. We were talking. I know that really wasn't going to happen, but like that's, I mean, we expected them to beat Offaly, but it's been a real strange season so far for them.
It has been, like they'll probably be really disappointed they didn't close out the Kildare game, because they were in a really good position. Now, the 2-point threat obviously did the damage for Kildare, because they were awesome on it in that second half. Against Derry, like, Derry completely bossed them all over the park, and they weren't, to be honest, they weren't really close territorially, but they still could have got something out of it. Now, there's a lot been made of the Louth game. Like, people are looking at Louth and saying that that was a massive shock. Like, Louth are Leinster champions. RD is, I don't like using this term because I think it's overused, but I think RD is one of these places where you can genuinely say it's a tough place to go. Yeah. I think that's the most overused statement ever. But RD is a tough place to go because it was there, and like, Derry got out by the skin of their teeth. So, and Louth are a quality side. Like the average person will say, well, it's all about Sam Mulroy. They have so many options. So Tyrone, but at the same time, I think they're probably just, it's just a few leaders they need, because there's loads of talent has come through the underage teams, and you still need that core. Like, you can't rely on Petey Hart and Matty Donnelly. So it's the next generation, Brenton, that probably need to step up, and we maybe saw that, like, from Shawnee O'Donnell at the weekend. I don't think there's any danger of Tyrone dropping in the Tottenham Cup. I thought there was a lot of alarm bells ringing very early, because it is only early in the season. But at the same time, if we're having this conversation in a couple of weeks' time and Tyrone stay up and score difference or head-to-head or something, then that's maybe a different conversation. But ideally, no matter what happens, that Armagh game in the Championship, it'll be, you know, there'll be hair flying and late tackles and all the fireworks that you'll want in that game. Yeah. And all of a sudden, that could be exactly what both teams need. Maybe that's what Armagh need as well, just something to really eye.
It's funny now, people are already kind of saying they're looking towards Armagh should win that match, and we both know that once that ball's hopped in, that's a complete 50-50 game. Like, it's kind of irrelevant what'll have happened in the league. I mean, sure, you want a bit of form, as you said, Armagh probably creating chances and whatever, they're playing in Division 1, but when Armagh play Tyrone, those two teams are fairly evenly matched, and it'll come down to who equips themselves best in the day. Well, bit of a statement from the Dubs. You know, you look at league games there, when a team is stung and you put into a corner, a lot of people questioning the attitude of Dublin last. They were very flat against Kerry. You know, their bottle. You can imagine that Ger Brennan probably used that all week. People are questioning your character, because they come out absolutely blood and thunder against Roscommon. And that's unlucky for Roscommon, probably met them in a bad week. I think if they'd have played them the previous week, it could have been different. But you know, Mel, from teams that are stung like that, because you can wind up a league team to get almost to a championship-type buzz before the game if their back's to the wall and if their character's been challenged.
Very much so. And then I suppose, like, I'm sure Jer framed it from the point of view of, like, we're battling for our lives in Division 1 here versus Roscommon, who... I know Roscommon were the form team, but they're still not the same bite. You know, that's what worries me about the latter end of Division 1, maybe over the next two rounds, where some games are non-events. But this one here, I think Dublin were, suppose, perfectly set up. I think for me, what disappointed me about them against Kerry were just, there were so many basic errors, Brenton, you know, that you don't associate with Dublin. But, you know, like, even like hand passes that went behind the man's run and handling errors that just you don't associate with them. But at the same time, like you're comparing it against, you know, I know the Kerry Golden Years will disagree with this one, but you're comparing it against the best team that've ever played the game.
Yeah.
And those, you know, that's what you're comparing it against. I think Dublin, they're way down the pack at the moment. I think one of them, you know, I know we look forward to the Championship, Brenton, but one of the things I'm looking forward to seeing is, can Dublin pull enough together, you know, to get to a semi-final again, to have them back in the Sam conversation? At the minute, they're not. But who knows what they could do over the next wee while. But, you know, that quality that they had, like it's been an overused statement, like, they were awesome.
Mm.
And they're just not at that level.
There was always going to be a rough point. Well, just doing the last minute, just the word Monaghan, well, 7 points. You know, you want everybody to be competitive, and you know, it just looks like everything is going wrong there at the minute. You mentioned squads before, never working off a big squad, and it looks like, you know, it's a real tough season for them. Again, they could always be dangerous in the Championship, but certainly league-wise, it's been a disastrous Division 1.
Oh, here, they came to Celtic Park a couple of years ago, and I actually spoke to Gabriel Branigan about this last year, you know, whenever they were flying high. And he said to me, look, that day in Celtic Park, like, they were down to the bare bones in terms of injuries. And, you know, and they're not a massive county number wise, Brendan, but like, when you think of the amount of quality that they lost, you know, Manzi, Darren Hughes, you know, Carl O'Connell, experience. And then now they've lost more since that. So that leaves them in a really difficult situation.
Wiley.
You know, and then you're trying to do that, Brenton. You're trying to blood players in Division One, which is difficult.
Going back to your dairy point, all right. Mal, listen, 100%. Listen, Mal, thank you so much. And we'll keep an eye on things as this unfolds. Mal, looks like Donegal could be heading towards a league final. Might be hard to avoid at this point, and the Dairymen are heading back up. So listen, all good for me and you anyway.
This is Sydney Swans top, by the way. I'm not on the bandwagon yet.
top man, Sydney Swans. I love it. That's Michael McMullen there. You can read his articles and online as well in the Gaelic Life magazine. Mal, we'll be speaking to you as the season goes on.
Cheers to me.
Top stuff. Yeah, Michael McMullen, great stuff. I, earlier today, caught up with ladies manager James Daly after his side's impressive victory away to Mayo at the weekend, putting Donegal in a great position to go back up to Division 1. James Daly, welcome to the DL Debate. How are you keeping today, sir?
Very good. Happy man after yesterday, so we're back on the right foot again, so going good.
Back on the right foot, James, yeah, sitting up top along with Cavan there. You're just tucked in behind him. James, very encouraging start to the season. Just the one defeat, but apart from that, four wins. You must be happy with how the team's shaping up.
Yeah, look, things have gone really well. We knew after last year, we were very young. We needed to introduce you with more experience. And we went out and we got some real good quality girls in from out in the county, some of them who weren't available to us last year. But we're really happy after five games, we have four wins and we're sitting in second place, a point behind Cavan. So, no, look, it's going in the right direction, Brendan.
And just in terms of promotion, what's the method of it versus going up to the next division? How many teams go up or is it playoffs?
No, it's the top two play the league final and both teams are promoted anyway.
Sound.
So, look, there's still a lot to be played for. We have two games. We play Tipperary and Wexford yet. And Cavan has tough games ahead of them as well. So, look, there's good teams. There's still good teams in the group there that, you know, that we've beaten by a point or, you know, they've got beaten by a point somewhere else. But look, there's good teams there. So we just have to be at our best over the next two games and get ourselves over the line and get promoted to Division One.
Yeah. And James, is that a big priority for these girls? Do you see the fact that, you know, you're on about playing and we talk about it all the time about playing against the best and how that elevates? Do you think the team is in that kind of trajectory now where it's time to go up? It'd be a huge thing to get back into the top flight.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, every team wants to be playing at the top level, and we have a lot of inexperience, but it's where we want to be. We've that was our thought going out to start of the season. First priority would be get promoted. We know Division One is going to be tough for us, but you know, we feel like it's the next step for us. It's the next step for this team on this learning curve for them. And we're only going to learn going up and playing against the top teams week in, week out. Yes. And, you know, we think we can go up there and we can make a good account of ourselves.
Yeah. And James, listen, very encouraging victory again. I mean, nothing like a one-point victory, and particularly when it was backs to the wall later on against Mayo, going away from home. As you said, that was a massive step towards that promotion goal.
Yeah, no doubt. We knew it was going to be tough going down into Mayo, yes, and they're a very proud county as well, and they don't like to get beat at home. But you know, the game, the conditions, the weather, the rain, the wind, everything played a part in it yesterday. And like, we went in at half time 2 points down against the wind, but we come out not being carried away, Brendan. The fact that we were playing with the wind, was more driving across the field than anything else. And but the girls really dug in. A lot of girls stood up and were massive. We showed a lot of grit. We showed a lot of determination. Our aggression was good. Like, defensively, we were so sound, and we put them under pressure at every point. And we deserve the win. But look, that's what it's all about. So, by getting the win, it doesn't matter what the scoreline says. It's just by getting the win and getting the 3 points on the board, and, you know, getting ready to play Tipperary in 3 weeks.
Yeah. And James, listen, you've had some brilliant performers all throughout this league campaign so far. Just a word on your captain. Was Roisin Rodgers, was that like an easy choice? He seems like not only such a leader and great player, but, you know, to be captain as well, just a real driving force in your team.
Yeah, look, Roisin's a great player. You know what I mean? She's a fabulous player. She's a great leader. The girls really look up to her, and again, like Roisin's only, I think, 24 herself. You know what I mean? But like Roisin Rodgers is born leader, and what she does on the pitch, you know what I mean? She lays it out on the pitch for the girls, and she, you know what she does, she expects the girls to do the same thing. And like when you need a big win a big ball or make a big block, Roisin's there. You know what I mean? And that's all you want from your captain. You want your captain, you know, who's you know, who needs to be that wee bit special. And Roisin Rodgers is a very special player.
Yes. And James, so in terms of how you're looking now, I suppose Tyrone are the nearest team that could maybe catch you. But the fact that, listen, the Tip game now, obviously is a massive game coming up next. And then Wexford, who are pointless at the bottom, you know, we should win that match. So if we can get across the line with Tip, it should be pretty much we're nearly there.
Yeah, no doubt. We played Tip twice last year, Brendan, and we beat them in the league, and then they beat us in the Championship. And so going down to Tipperary is definitely not going to be an easy game. But it's what we need to do. We need to beat them. And like Tyrone's not far away, and they will think like they have one loss and one draw, so they've dropped 5 points. Cabin had two draws, so they have two draws, so they've dropped 4 points. So they have to play each other yet. So that's a big, big game there. And like I still wouldn't rate like Mayo could still sneak in there if the scores went the right way for them. Yeah. So there's still a lot to play for. And even if we beat Tipperary, okay, you still have to play Wexford, okay. And that's, again, teams are fighting for their life. You know, they can always find another gear, okay. And but look, we're in a good position, Brendan. But it's far from sorted. We have a lot of work to do yet.
Yes, yes. And James, just, you know, people talk a lot about the leagues, and you were saying about competing against the best. Is it something now, obviously, we've the league, and then the Ulster, then you've the All-Ireland series. Is that something, James, that very much that league step, particularly, say, looking into next year to build in into the Championship, is that all steps in your ladder? Or how do you see the rest of the season going in terms of, say, the Championships to play then? Is this league very important, say, in terms of the evolution to get you up to that level where you're really going after a Championship?
Yeah, and like to keep us grounded, Declan or Brendan, we have played two senior teams this year. The rest of the teams are intermediate, you know, and it was a big game for us yesterday because Mayo and Tyrone are the two senior teams. Mayo's have been an established senior team for a long time. So it was big for us to be the senior team yesterday. Yeah. Now we go into Ulster now. We play. It'll be a round robin with us, Armagh and Tyrone, and that's about you know, having the confidence in what we've done in the league. And I guess it was far from a perfect game. Like, a lot of mistakes. Weather had a lot to do with it, but it's about getting better. Okay, getting rid of the mistakes. And you know, when we come up against the likes of the Armaghs and Tyrone, no doubt Tyrone will have a bit more to them when it comes to Championship. Dry ball, dry pitch can change a game very quickly. So it's all about it's a step, and the next step, we get to a league final, win a league final, play off the Championship. It all comes right bang, 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 very, very quickly. And then qualify for, if you can win an Ulster Championship, okay, you're going to get a better seeding for the All-Ireland series. Yes. So we feel like, you know, we didn't put up a great fight against Armagh last year, but we feel that we're a wee bit more experienced, a bit more about us this year. And we like, our goal, our next goal is to, you know, win our two games in Ulster, get to an Ulster final and push on from there.
Yeah, 100%. James, listen, on behalf of all the Donegal supporters, keep up the good work, you and your management team, and we'll be speaking to you as the season goes on.
That's great, Brendan. Thank you very much.
Top man. Thanks, James. Yes, that was James Daly there, Donegal Ladies manager. Well done to him, sitting high up in the league. I just wanted to finish off the show here. Thanks, Joe Dex, for producing, head of sport, Oisin Kelly, the brilliant Jimmy and Paul, and the Monday night sessions are coming up shortly. Always a great show. I listened to it on the way home, and when I get back up to Lismonahan. Next week, I say, on the show, Mickey McCann, the Donegal hurling boss, is going to be on. We're also going to tee up actually the visit of the great Brian Cody. He's coming up to the Burt Dinner Dance. They've asked me down to it there, so I'll be very interested to speak with Brian, maybe even get a wee interview with him from the show. Just 11 All-Irelands, I think he's won. An absolute legend of a man. So I've never actually really met him before. So I'm really looking forward to that. I must do my research as well on that. But Mickey is on next week's show. We'll be reviewing all the weekend's action from next weekend. And I will speak to you all then.